Amen. Well, I can't wait to get this word to you this morning. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. And tell you right now during this season, we call it a night season, something that America and the world's never been through before. And when you're preparing a message for the people of God, you could either continue to go over this. We could talk about end times every single time we come in here. You could talk about revival breaking out at this time. You could talk about darkness and gross darkness and the rioters. And you could just talk about anything. And if you're not careful, you will just beat the same drum. So I wanted to hear, I always want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. But I am going to talk about this morning. This is my title, What to Do When Things Go From Bad to Worse. How many's ever been there? I mean, we just do that sometimes in a normal life. Sometimes you'll just go from bad to worse. It's like a cycle of defeat, and it's just one thing and then another and another and another and another. One time I brought a message, and I'm sure probably others have too. If it's not one thing, it's another. Well, right now, we'll be taking two steps forward with this virus going on, and then you'll hear, well, the numbers are up again, and then, well, we're going to start school. School's going to open. And, oh, excuse us. No, it isn't going to open. And then the riots are calming down over here, and then they light a fire over here. And so it's just a real wild time. But I want you to turn over to Psalms chapter 31. And I want to tell you with David this morning, Psalms 31, I want us to all turn there together. I want to say with David, our times are in his hands. Amen. Would you say that with me? Our times. Say it like this. My times are in his hands. Now, if we will hold on to that, when things go from bad to worse, you're going to know that your times are in his hands. Could we look at Psalms 31. Everybody's there but me. Oh, my goodness. We could go down through this entire verse, but let's just start at verse 14. Psalms 31, 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Let me read that to you again. But as for me, David said, as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Let me read you verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who do what? Trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Okay, let's just go back now. But I just wanted to tell you that our times, whatever time you're having, whatever time you're going through, it's in the hands of God if you're trusting him. Amen. Now, if you're not, you're on your own. But when we are trusting him, it puts us in a completely different category than the people around you. Now, everyone knows right now you either have to be ignorant of the word or blind or deaf not to understand that the new world order is approaching, that the new world order is on the horizon. But we just know that's a given because the Bible says it is. So we know that it's coming in the last days, and we know that we're in the last hours. But you know what I'm concerned about is the new church order, because there is a new church order being set. As I was on my way to church, I said, Lord, you know what? I feel like we are little birds, you know, in a nest, and we've been comfortable. You know, we've been cozy and comfortable and even maybe complacent and just real cozy. And he said, yeah, but I'm going to make you a little bit miserable. I'm going to put a few sticks in under you and make you a little uncomfortable. And we're going to set a whole new church order. Remember when Jesus walked in the temple and he just started flipping the tables over with his righteous indignation? I mean, he just got upset. He set a whole new church order then. And when he went away, it was another new order. Well, we're under construction, believe me. Those of you that just came in, you've noticed the church has a new makeup that has a new facelift. What is that? Well, I thought, well, since we're getting a new church order, we may as well just have a new physical church order. So we've changed some things to let us know, yeah, everything is being changed. So I want to just show you, I mean, I could have, there was no place to stop as far as bringing these examples to you that I want to talk about people whose lives literally had to be in God's hands or else they were just plain not going to make it. And one of them was Jochebed. You know who she is. You may not recognize the name, but that was Moses' mother. And Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill all the baby Hebrew boys. Now leave the girls, but I'm going to have the firstborn boys all killed. And so little Jochebed, she knew that the Bible says she knew in the book of Exodus that her baby, she knew that when baby Moses was born, he was a special child. Something about it, she knew he was special, and it says he was a beautiful child. And so she managed to hide him for 3 months away from the men, Pharaoh's people who knocked on the door to take the firstborn and kill that baby. She managed to hide him for 3 months. Now remember that, 3 months she hid him. But at the end of that 3 months, he realized now he's getting a little bit older. He's starting to, you know, cry louder. And whatever it was, she couldn't hide him anymore. Now listen, she trusted God. Now things were really, really bad. How much worse can it get? Oh, it can get pretty bad. So things were pretty bad if they're coming door to door killing the firstborn sons. And so now it's getting ready to go worse. Except she trusted God. So she made a little basket out of the bulrush. She weaved this little basket and she put this little three-month-old baby in a basket. Now, 3 months old, they're getting kind of, they've lost the newborn look. They're getting a little older. She puts him in a basket and she takes him down to the Nile River and she hides him there in the bush. And she puts him there, and there are crocodiles. If you do a study on that, you'll see there were crocodiles in the water. And by faith and her trust in God, she put that baby right down there in the bush. But it just so happened, look how God works. She trusted. Now, which is worse, your baby be killed by Pharaoh's men or eaten by an alligator? So it was really bad to worse, and so it just so happened that that is where Pharaoh's daughter bathed. They had to bathe in the rivers in those days. So as Pharaoh's daughter would go down, the princess would go down to bathe, her maidens or the girls that cared for her, they would walk back and forth and play tambourines and make noise so the alligators would stay away while she could bathe. Well, while she's there, isn't it amazing that it just so happened that she's going down there to bathe a short time after Moses' mother put Moses in the water? Now, it just so happens the Bible says he wept. The New Living Translation says he cried. But the baby cries just at the right time. And Pharaoh's daughter comes just at the right time to see the little basket in the bush. She picks it up and takes the lid off. I'll never forget the first time God gave me this message. We were 3 years old here at Landmark. We were at the old building. We were getting, I think we were even building this. But the Lord gave me a word out of that. Now, where she hid that baby in the bulrush, I looked up the word bulrush, and it meant a place of moisture. And it said bulrush only grows on the Nile River and in moistened places, such as Central California. It was so amazing. And then we have the Tule River. I looked up the Tule, and you know what the word Tule means? Bulrush. Tule means bulrush. So it's like the, excuse me, I beg your pardon, but it's a little bit like the Nile River that flows through Porterville. Okay, can we say that? So we got the Nile, we got the bulrush, and the Lord said to me at that time, Landmark's 3 years old, but I'm getting ready to take the cover off. And I will expose this church. And he did. We built a new church, and the Spirit of God came in the 90s, there about 98, 99, in an amazing way. And this morning, as I was hearing the Lord on this, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard that Jochebed story again come up in me. And you know, we closed everything down in March. March, April, May, June. It's been 3 months since we've stepped out. And there's something about that story that the Lord says, I'm going to do it again. It looks as though it's gone from bad to worse. But I want you to remember that there is bulrush in Tulare County. And there's a lot of praying warriors and praying people in Tulare County. There's a lot of people that trust God in Tulare County, and there's a lot of people that trust God at Landmark. I just know that. I know you. We trust God. Now, here's what I want you to get, though, in that story. I'm not going to preach that same thing as it was then. But had this little woman, she wasn't very old. But had she not trusted God, there would have been no Moses. If you don't trust God, when things go from bad to worse, you'll never get out of the thing. It will just continue. But Moses was not killed. He was not eaten. Why? Because she trusted God. There would have been no Moses. There would have been no leader to bring God's people out. Now, let me mention her son Moses. Let me talk about him for a moment. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Remember that? In the book of Exodus, you can read it. He led them out. And when they got out, here comes Pharaoh. Pharaoh finally released the people and said, you can go. He let them go. Well, Moses led the people out. I mean, there's 4 million of them, and they're all walking. They got a cloud, and they got a fire at night. They got a cloud by day and a fiery pillar at night that leads them. So they're walking along there, and all of a sudden, they were walking, being guided by this cloud and by this fire, and finally it stops. Well, when the cloud and the fire stopped, they stopped. When the cloud and the fire moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. So the cloud stops. So they had to stop. And when they stopped, Moses is looking at this thing, and I'm sure those 4 million people are looking around, and they're looking on each side. And there are mountains, and behind them is Egypt, and in front of them is the Red Sea. Now, they were in Egypt, and it was so bad in Egypt. There was famine, there was lack, and they were slaves. And they were making brick, and they were making the mortar for the brick. I mean, how bad can it get? But now it's worse, because they're either looking at Egypt behind, or these mountains, or that sea. What's it going to be? Moses thought, I'll trust you, Lord. What are we going to do, God? You tell me. And they said, Moses, did you bring us out here to die? We'd rather just go back to Egypt. Let us just go back. Sometimes I've heard people, when things get so bad, they just rather go back to the way it was and forget about it. And that's too bad, folks. Don't do that. There's no place to go except back to some kind of slavery. And you sure don't want to be a slave to the devil. So God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? You know what it was? It was a stick. And he said, set it over the water. You know these stories, so I'm not going to elaborate on them. He just stuck the stick out over the water. And when he did, you know, the water stood up in great walls. It stood up on each side. And he dried the riverbed or the seabed. That's a most amazing miracle, total supernatural. And he dried the seabed, and they walked across on dry ground. Now, they trusted God and they walked across on dry ground, just as these 4 million people just about get across. Here comes Pharaoh's army. And about the time they get a little ways into the seabed, Moses turns around and God says, point your rod, son. And he pointed the rod and the waters closed up and Pharaoh and his armies died. And then they had a great song. They sung, great are the chariots and the warriors of Pharaoh. They're under the water of the Red Sea. And they begin to sing and rejoice. And Moses' sister Miriam played her tambourine and they rejoiced. Things were good. But it could have been this way. Had Moses not trusted God when things went from bad to worse and he gave up and he quit trusting and he got tired, there would have been no people of Israel. They would have died in the sea. Moses would have died in the sea. The people of Israel, Israel would not even be a state. There would be no Israel. Well, okay, they get across the sea, so things were good. They get out there, and now the people of Israel, they find a watering hole. So the cloud stopped next to this watering hole. Now, here's the funny thing about all this and the way God works. The watering hole, or the big lake, or whatever it was that the cloud stopped at, where God told him to stop, the water was bitter. The water wasn't good for the animals. The water was not good for the people. They could not drink the water. They could not let the animals drink. And they're like, Moses, you did it again. This is so crazy. What are you trying to do? Kill us out here in the wilderness? They couldn't even drink the water. So now things are going to go from bad to worse. And Moses is like, God, what are you doing? And there's times where the cloud will just stop there. And do you think God did not know that was bitter water? He knew that was bad water. But the cloud started moving again. And as the cloud began to move, or the fire, the pillar of fire began to move, it stopped again. And when it got out there into this wilderness, listen, you're talking about bad to worse? Listen, there was no water. Not only was it not bit, there wasn't any. The water was gone. My mama would say it was gone. There wasn't any. From bad to worse. But Moses heard God and he trusted God. And the Bible says he trusted him. He said, God, what are you going to do? These people are going to stone me. See, people lose their temper when things get bad. Lose their temper and want to scream out and yell out at somebody and throw in the towel and curse at God and get mad at God. And, oh, I've heard people get so mad at him. And Moses said, God, they're about to stone me. These people are angry. They're mad. Now it's gotten worse, from bad to worse. And God said, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses took his rod because he had used it before and he hit the rock. God said, I didn't say hit it. I said, speak to it. All you had to do was talk to it, Moses. Because, see, now the people had upset him. And so he hit the rock. Well, you know the story on that. He didn't get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed. But anyway, when he hit the rock, God was merciful and water flowed out. And the Bible says that water flowed out and watered their flocks and watered them. They cooked with it. They bathed with it. There was water until this day. The water never dried up because they trusted God. God was merciful to them. Even Moses, though Moses went a little too far, he yet trusted God. And I'm telling you, people, had they not trusted God, had Moses not trusted God, you know what would have happened? There would have been no water. There would have been no people of Israel again. They would have died out there in the wilderness. They would have just died. They would have died off. There would have been absolutely no Israel. Now, you cannot talk about this kind of thing without talking about Joseph. You know, Joseph literally went from bad to worse. His brother sold him to slave traders, and then they put him in a pit. His brothers first put him in a pit. Then they got him out. The slave traders came by, and they bought him, and he worked out in the fields for them. And then after that, he went to work for Pharaoh's house. Wherever he went, he just rose to the top. He rose to the top. Well, he worked for the king, and he put him in charge of his house. His wife lied on him, and then he put him in jail, said, you know, what he tried to do to her. And so he wound up in jail, and then after that, he became the warden. He was blessed wherever he was. He went from bad to good, good to bad, bad, good, good, bad. And then he wound up as prison warden. And then things got bad there, and then he wound up in a prison pit. He was there for 12 years, and these two men told him when they got out they would get him out of the prison, but they didn't. They forgot about him. But let me say this about him. He trusted God when he was in the pit. He trusted him when he worked at the king's house. He trusted him when he was in jail. And he trusted him when he was in the inner prison, a dirt floor. And he trusted God when he was also the prison warden. He trusted him when he was blessed, when he was processing, when nothing was going on. And he continued to trust God when things went from bad to worse to good to bad to worse, 3 steps forward, 10 steps back. He continued to trust God. Had he not continued to trust God, he would have never became prime minister of the land. He became the second man to the king, the second man, the prime minister of the land. But he would have been nothing. He would have died right there in that prison had he not trusted God. Yeah. Folks, what I'm telling you this morning is continue to trust him. I don't know exactly where you are right now, where any of us are. But I'm saying you trust him through this mess. You trust him through the trial you're going through with the heavy cross you're carrying. Trust him in your prosperity. Trust him in your blessing. Some of you are multiply blessed right now. Well, trust him in your blessing. Don't get prideful. Just stay put and continue trusting. Because there would have been no Joseph. There would have been no sons of Jacob. There would have been no Israel at all. Had any of these people, starting with Jochebed, had she stopped trusting, if Moses had stopped trusting, if Joseph had quit, the people of Israel got tired, and they did get tired. But folks, listen, we've just got to know that our times are in God's hands. David said, my times are in God's hands. David was sitting in a cave hiding from Saul. And it just went from bad to worse for David. But he became king. In fact, he was anointed to be the king of Israel. David had 3 anointings. He had an anointing when he was a baby, and again as a young man, and about 13, and again in his early 20s, he was anointed 3 times to be the king. And yet here he is hiding from a wicked king named Saul. It just didn't look right. It wasn't right for the man of God. It just wasn't right because he was anointed to be the king. He was going to be the king. And what is this that I'm sitting over here cowering in this cave? Well, that king is so evil. That's just not right. But he continued to trust God, and he became the king, and Jesus came from his loins. That amazing? There may not have been a Jesus if David had given up. Listen, the plan of God is so much bigger than anything we know about. But these perilous times, church, and Timothy called them, these are perilous times. Dangerous times, difficult times, strange times that nobody even knows what's really going on. But our confidence and our trust is in the Lord. I just want to say, know whose hands you're in. Know that your faith and your confidence is in him. And if somebody is watching today, and I pray that God would draw people to just accidentally watch today, that maybe you're a doctor or a school teacher or a businessman. And I pray for all of you. It's just a horrible thing to think that our small businesses and restaurants were just opening up and allowing people to come in. And then they had to take all these steps backward and close again. One manager said to me in the restaurant, he said, you know, we survived the first time. We survived as a people did takeouts and ordered takeouts and curbside. We survived that. We survived when they let us open our dining rooms and we could bring in 25 and then close off a few tables, bring in a few more and have half the amount that we had. We survived. But he said, now we're not sure we can survive this one. We can't survive this one. I said, brother, he was a Christian. I said, you and I know we trust the Lord. And I said, God put you in this company, so you trust them for this, that you will make it. See, so I just wanted to tell you, whether you're one of those people, a store owner or a doctor or a mom or dad, now you're wondering, what are we going to do about school? Our children need academics. They need to learn. They tell us one day they're going to school. The next week they're not going to school. Teachers are confused. Well, is coronavirus really that wild? Well, some are concerned. Some aren't. Let's go back. Others don't want their children to get it. Others aren't afraid at all. Well, let's just wear masks. Let's do social distancing. Let's just do what we got to do. I'm just saying, trust God. Whoever you are, you better get to know God. Let me tell you something. If you don't trust him and you don't know him, like these people, see, they all knew him and they knew how to trust him. When my husband and daughter were killed by a drunk driver, we were preaching the same message I'm preaching today. I knew God. I loved God. My husband loved God. We were godly people. But I knew how to trust him. And that's what held me. I knew how to trust him. But if you don't know how to trust him and you don't get to know God, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be out there all by yourself. Oof. Is that a scary place to be? Somebody said, do I have to have the Holy Spirit to get to heaven? I said, I need the Holy Spirit to go out the door, just to go to the store. What do you mean go to heaven? We need salvation. We need Jesus. Listen, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how educated you are. You cannot do this by yourself. There may be no doctor's office. There may be no school. There may be no restaurant. There may be no small business. There may be no 401k for you. Unless you trust him and give your heart to him. Hallelujah. And turn everything you have over to him. God, you can have my business. You can have my money. My family, I belong to you, Lord. I will trust you all the way through. Now, you can just continue and let this thing go from bad to worse without him. Or you can decide, when you trust God, here's what happens. Here's what I learned a long time ago. When you trust him with everything you've got, just like Jochebed and Moses and David and Joseph and us, De Leon's, you from Philippines, you know how to trust him. Linda, you know how to trust him. Marini, you know how to trust him. Kathy, you know how to trust him. Archie, you know how to. We all have learned how to trust the Lord. I was at the hospital, Kelly, when your baby was born in such a horrible fashion. But you knew how to trust him. You're sitting here today playing a guitar on a platform because you knew how to trust God. But if, see, when you know how to trust him, you say, well, it looks like it's going bad to worse, but I believe it's just processing. And see, when you realize that it's a process, and you may be in a cycle of just processing. And when you start processing, then you realize, he has taken me somewhere that I have never been before. He has taken me somewhere where I have only dreamed that I could go. See, this is where you meet up with your destiny. This is where you start leaving the legacy. What am I going to leave for my children? What's my legacy? What am I about? What's my life about? Yeah. I know, Chris. Been difficult, but see, you trust God. So with you, it's not bad to worse and bad to worse. It's your processing. We're processing. We process. You said, dear goodness, Pastor, I can't process the rest of my life. I know I've thought that myself, but the thing is, when you get through one process, there probably will be another, but you've learned how to trust him. And that's the good thing. Now, I want to tell you something. If you haven't learned how to trust him, this isn't the time to be playing around. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it said the people of Israel got out in the wilderness and many of them died because they became idolaters. And it said they ate and they drank and they rose up to play. Now pleasures were more important to them than the work of God and God himself. Pleasures. They rose up to play. Some people, that's all they can think about is playing and going and pleasures. Oh, we all love pleasures. But I'm going to tell you, church, when God is pushing his saints into a new place and he's forming a new church order, hey, let's not worry about the new world order. You and I won't even be around. See, we're a church that still believes in the rapture of the church. We believe in the catching away of the bride. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe the Antichrist is probably on the earth right now. Jesus may come in this decade. But I'm just saying, what are you worried about? We're not going to be here. We won't suffer God's wrath. I'm not going to take a back seat on saying that. But I'm going to say before he comes, he is going to have an army. No, he's not going to be running a little nursery in the church, little thumb-sucking babies. See, babies in a nursery, I found out when in the nursery, all they need to be is cuddled and fed and changed. And I believe the pastors have been changing diapers and little thumb-suckers. Parting the mustache so I can get the bottle in to feed you the milk. Because you choke on meat. God said, no, I'm going to have an army. I have a remnant. I have an army. And this army will be army strong, as your son says at Ark. Army strong. Clothed in the armor of God. Clothed in the armor. People of prayer, people of the blood of Jesus, covered in the blood. We've been equipped, church. We've been equipped. We cannot act like we haven't been. But it's time to get over the coddling. And I've got to be fed. And she hurt my feelings. And he hurt my feelings. And I don't like what he said. And I don't like... Forget about it, as they say in New York. Just forget about it. They hurt my feelings too. My daughter told one of her friends one time, she says, you're going to go to Walmart and get your feelings hurt. You can get your feelings hurt anywhere. We got about 1,000 of them left. I told my little Ainsley the other day, she said, Nanny, you hurt my feelings. I said, babe, you got a whole bunch left. She said, no, I don't, because you hurt every one of them. No. We're the army of God, church. We're equipped. We've got clothes to wear. Whose hands are you in? Put everything you've got in the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your success in the Spirit, your blessings in the Spirit depend on your trust in God. Yes, Lord. Let me just give you something fun here for a minute. Brother Art sent me this Facebook post the other day, and it was one of the most amazing things. And I called him yesterday. I said, Art, we'll just act this out. But then I knew I had to get this other message in, and I could so get off on all this. But listen to this. Everything, it just tied so in with what I'm saying here. We got to know whose hands hold our stuff. Amen. And hold our hearts and hold our minds and hold our emotions. Physically speaking, if you put a basketball in my hands, it's going to be worth, what, about $10 or $15 for a little basketball. But if you put it in the hands of LeBron James... it'll be worth about 30 million. Was that million and not thousand? $30 million. See, it's just got to get in the right hands. The man went on to say, if you put a football in my hands, it'll be worth about $10. But he said, you put it in Peyton Manning's hands and it'll be worth $50 to $60 million. See, it's all depending on whose hands hold that ball. He said, if you put a golf club in my hand, golf club would be worth maybe $50. But you put it in the hands of Tiger Woods, and it's going to be worth $80 million. Now, that ain't even right. I just got to say, that's just not right. I don't care whose hands hold that golf club. Unless it's Jesus. $50 million? I mean, 80? So see, it all depends on whose hands it's in. Now, if you put a stick in our hands, I'll see people taking a walk down the street in the mornings and they'll have a stick. Why? Because that stick might beat a dog off, a barking dog, at least scare them away. But you put that same stick in Moses' hand, look what that stick did. It parted the sea. Hallelujah. Ah, this is so good. You put a slingshot in our hands, all we got's a kid's toy. Just a kid's toy. But you put it in David's hand, the anointed David, and it brought down a giant. It slayed a big mouth giant. You give us 2 fish and 5 loaves for lunch? Oh, that'd take care of our lunch. Might have a little bit of bread left over. Maybe order some more fish with just 2 pieces. 5 loaves, we have a little bit left, but that's a meal for us. But the man said, you put that same 2 fish and 5 loaves in the hands of Jesus, and it feeds 5,000 people. Hallelujah. 5,000. You put 2 nails, even in the hands of Roman, give him 2 nails, and still all you're going to be able to do, as wise as you are in building, is probably nail a board. Just nail a board. But you give Jesus 2 nails. And look what he did. This is why we stand here today, church. Salvation, eternal life, divine healing, the glory of his presence. 2 nails did all that in the right hands. So I wanted to tell you that to say this. Take all of your carries, your worries, and all your care, and all your stress, and all your strife, and all the stuff, and all the sins. It was, I believe, Psalms 55 that says, cast your care upon him, because he cares for you. You just put those all in his hands. David said, my times are in his hands. Just put it in the hands of the Lord, church. You got to make a transfer. Get it out of your hands. Amen? Get it out of your hands and into the hands of the Lord. Ever since I've been working on this, actually, I just got this about 2 in the morning this morning. As it began to come, except for what I just gave you there, the rest was by the Holy Ghost. And as I've been thinking on that, and on my way to church, remember the old song, put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Hallelujah. I want you to look at one more scripture in Luke 21:36. Maybe you can just look above. The Bible says this, Luke 21:36. Watch, therefore. Listen, church, this is so important. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, because it is countdown time. So he says, you pray that you'll be counted worthy to escape all these things. See, we are going to escape. Now, some of the non-rapture preachers call that escapism. Well, I got news for you. I just read it is an escape. He said, count yourself worthy that you might escape it all. These things will come to pass that we might stand before God. All these things that are passing right now. And we'll see more. We'll see more. They're talking about the coins are gone right now. Well, the coins are at the bank. They said the coins aren't in the right place. So there's really not a shortage. They're just not in some of the right places, like laundromats. Those laundromats are closed. What are those poor people doing? So we've got to watch. We've got to pray and see what the Lord tells you and me to do. So how many of you, church, will join me in this army? Would you stand if you say, I'll join you in this army, Pastor Paulette? Well, come on, let's push all the way through. And I don't care where the cloud stops. Your cloud may be stopped at a bad place right now, but you just push on through that Red Sea. You just keep moving. And you put whatever you've got in the hand of God. You put it in the river of God. You just put it all in the river. I love calling His presence a river. We just used to, in the 90s and the early 2000s, always call His presence the river. Hallelujah. So walk through the Red Sea. Church, it's our time. And I know the time is at hand. But we know Him and we trust Him. Do we not know Him and trust Him? Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Lord, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice, maybe you have drawn someone into this message today, Lord, that doesn't know you. In their life, it seems like things have gone from bad to worse, and they're wondering, what in the world am I going to do? I'll tell you what to do. You trust God. You put your stuff in His hands. You put your body in His hands. You put your mind in His hands. You put your family in His hands. And you let Him take you where He wants to take you. God, this is the day of the church, the new church order. There's a new church order being set. It's not going to be like it once was. Oh, no, no. The revival, the glory, the outpouring, the reformation that's on us. Lord, it's not going to be like anything behind us. We're not stuck in the past, Lord. We're in a new world order right now that's approaching, but we're in a new church order. And the new church order is going to be greater and more powerful for the people of God. So, Lord, we're excited. Equip us. May we be equipped and ready to go. Walking in faith, walking in trust, walking in your glory. Walking, Lord, in new power that we've never walked in before. May the healing virtue, come on, army of God, lift up your hands and receive the power to heal the sick. Receive the power, receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Spirit of God. And you walk through in authority and boldness. And you take authority over those demons that come into your house. Those demons that try to take your family out. Lord, those things that have tried to stun your people. We come against cancer right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, Lord, no fourth stage to carry. We speak healing over you, my sister, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, cut that thing out in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that Brother Chuck's body is going to have a miraculous healing, though he's not even here right now. But there's going to be a miraculous healing on you, Chuck. In your hand, you will stretch that hand out just like the man did with the withered hand when Jesus walked in. Church, you got to believe to see the works of the Lord in this day. Believe that you will see the works of the Lord in your house and in your heart and in your home and in your finances. In the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name that is named. If you don't know Him, would you come to Him right now? Just pray, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, Lord. I am a sinner. Lord, I want to be able to trust you. I don't want to be out here by myself. I want you to lead me, to guide me. Maybe you're an intellect and you've had all the answers. You're used to having all the answers, but you don't have the answers now. And so it's scaring you a little bit. Turn it all to Jesus. Let Him have it, sir. My sweet sister, let Him have it. Our God is real. He's going to take care of every one of you at home. Those of you that are still, you've still got something going on, maybe a little fear has gripped your heart. Lord, I release them now from fear of bondage, from fear of the coronavirus, fear of disease coming on them. Release them now, Father. Let us walk in victory full of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Let's sing to the glory of the Lord.
Who loves me? Who wraps me in His arms?
Come on, worship Him.
That is the place. And that
let me say to you before we go, by the way, thank you all for joining us at home today. Are we still on, Brother Rick? Leave them on until I bless. I just want to say this. Now, next week, my family and I are taking our annual or our yearly week's vacation at the beach. And so we'll be gone next Sunday. But I asked these guys to join me one night this week, and we're going to come and we'll have church in here. And then there won't be church in the building on next Sunday. Okay, it'll be just online church Sunday morning at 10, same time, and we'll have Brother Rick or Isaiah go ahead, we'll hold it and then post it at 10 o'clock next Sunday, but no church in here, it'll be online only Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, okay? Now, we will have church this Wednesday, and we'll have church next Wednesday, so we'll have a good time together. Can I bless you right now in Jesus' name? May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and your home and your business, your mind and spirit, your emotions, all that pertains to you. Be gracious to him, Lord. Turn your face toward us and give us peace. Lord, I praise you today for the blessings of Abraham upon this praise team, Lord, upon the musicians, upon the ushers, upon our teachers, our children, our moms and dads. Thank you, Lord, for Therma, who's here today. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you too. Divine health, divine blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you all. Amen.